All right, we're starting our new series called In My Feels. In My Feels. And so in this series, ladies and gentlemen, this series, the next few weeks is designed to navigate the spectrum of our emotions from a biblical point of view. Say, we need to get our emotions in check. Gotta get our emotions in check. It's really important. And we need to handle our emotions from what we are in Christ, not from where we were as sinners, enslaved into our flesh. So there's a way. This next few weeks, this is a mature gospel. Amen. This is to mature us in the things of Christ. You can hear all of the stuff that you're going to get blessed, but you need everyday living. Everyday living. This is important. Amen. So I want to start off in this series talking about I got anger issues. I got some anger issues. You know, let your faces not be so sad. As I said, the next few weeks, all of us are going to be sitting on the couch of God getting therapy, including me. Because I'm not talking like I've apprehended this whole thing. I'm still trying to work out my salvation. All right, so go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. I'll be doing a little bit more teaching with you, so that's why I'm doing wearing this, you know, professor. Lapel, amen, trying to be a little professor, amen, yeah. See how far that goes, you know. All right, let's read all together, everybody. Be angry and do not sin. Let me hear you. Do not let the sun, verse 27. All right, let's read that one more time. Verse 26. Let's start at verse 26.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
Amen. So we're going to, our first installment, we're talking about I got anger issues. Got to work out some of this anger. Now, let me go and do some teaching really quickly. Number one, I want you to know that anger is a natural emotion. Okay? The Bible talks about anger over 500 times in scripture. Wow. Over 500 times, almost equivalent to love. Because what's the opposite of love? Anger, aggression, all of that. All right? And so the Bible talks about it a lot because it's really important to know how to manage this particular emotion. Not only that, but I want you to put on the screen for me the next thing that should be after this, Deb. It should say, anger is a powerful, watch this, God-given emotion with intensity that ranges from being frustrated to severe fury. I want you to understand that we were made in the likeness of God. I also want you to know that God also gets angry. And I know some people are going to say, that's why I walked away from the Lord in the first place, because I saw anger at God in the Old Testament. But there's a difference that I'm going to explain to you. There's a difference between righteous indignation versus unrighteous anger. There's a difference. Let's talk about that difference for a second. So righteousness versus unrighteous anger is, righteous anger is a response to sin, the mistreatment of others, or an attack on the kingdom of God. So what God gets angry about is looking at, seeing how his creation is responding to sin. You get what I'm saying? There was so much sin that was prevalent, and so sin demanded his wrath. And so God, it says it's a scary thing to fall into to fall into the hands of an angry God, because what God gets angry about is sin. What God gets angry about is injustice. What God gets angry about is the attack on the king, on his own kingdom and his people. You get what I'm saying? And so when we say that we're coming in, when we have a righteous anger, it's understanding that in the righteousness, and when we see injustice and when we see how sin is spreading, all of that stuff. So look at somebody and say, God put you and regenerated you.
So that you can influence the world around you.
Amen. What does that mean? That, oh, why God can't just do it? He put you here. Everyone, like, look, this is why the believers are here. That's why we are part of the kingdom. The reason why darkness spreads is because the kingdom of light is not shining their light. So if you see an injustice going around in your workplace and you a child of the light, how is it that the light, whatever light comes into the room, is going to illuminate the darkness that's there? So when we see injustice in the world, when we see sin at its rapid rate and it's all around, we should have something in us should raise up and like, something's wrong here. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? That's a righteous anger. Now, let's talk about unrighteous anger for a second. Unrighteous anger, ladies and gentlemen, typically occurs when our anger is attacked by our own pride. If someone tries to hurt or insult us, then we respond by trying to hurt or insult them. Yeah. So unrighteous anger, ladies and gentlemen, occurs when our pride has been attacked. Yeah. When we come angry, it's because we feel like we've been disrespected. Yeah. That's a difference between righteous indignation. Because righteous indignation is hating what God hates and loving what he loves. Yeah. Unrighteous anger is when your feelings, you and our feelings have been hurt. You and our feelings, our little pride has been attacked. Yeah. And we want to come back at you. We want to do what comes natural to us. Righteousness does not come natural to us, ladies and gentlemen. See, you have to understand something this morning. Anger itself is not a sin. Me telling you, you can't be angry is almost like denying an emotion that God has given you. All right. Anger is not a sin. Hear me and hear me good. It is what you do in your anger that determines whether we sin. It's what you do. Me telling you when somebody didn't do what you asked them to do and you getting frustrated and angry and all that stuff like that because this has happened multiple times. It's not telling you that you cannot be angry. No. It's what you do with that anger. It's how you respond. See, anger, when it is automatic response to a situation, is considered a primary emotion. But anger can also be a secondary emotion, meaning that it is felt in reaction to another feeling, such as fear, hurt, or sadness. So either or, anger can be a primary or secondary emotion, but it's what you do in your anger that is going to determine if you're going to sin. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Now let me explain this more when it comes down to righteous indignation. We see this in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 13, when Jesus went into the temple. After coming in riding high, on Palm Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, he goes into the temple and he looks at what's going on and he starts flipping tables. Yeah. Why does he do that? Because those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Verse 13. He said, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it into a den of thieves. The problem is that we should have a problem when we see people being misused and abused and the houses of God that should call themselves people of God. That's righteous indignation. Get what I'm saying? And so ladies and gentlemen, Jesus had a real emotion, is anger. What did he do with that anger? Flip them tables. God, anger comes because God has the emotion of anger. And if I'm made in the image of God, you are going to also have this emotion. But he did not sin because what he did in that moment was call them into order.
Come on.
He didn't call them names. He said, you turn it into a den of thieves. That is not what the house of God is for. Setting order in the house of God. Now let's talk about unrighteous. Let me go back to unrighteous anger for a second. The first ever mention of anger in scripture comes from Genesis chapter 4. Yeah. In Genesis chapter 4, to give you a breakdown, it is when Cain and Abel are offering up offerings unto the Lord. Right? Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Verse 5, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Wow. So Cain was mad, because how is it that you accept my brother's offering, but you didn't accept mine? And so out of his angry, because he already felt a certain type of way about his brother anyway, what he did with his anger is kill him. It's one thing to have an emotion of angry. It's another thing to then express your anger in the way of jealousy, as a way of coming after God because, hey, I killed the one that you like the offering. What you think about that? Since you like his offering, I'm going to kill him. Jesus. Some people are wired like that. I don't like that just happened. The first thing I do, I'm going to kill you. That's what he did. And what happened is that God didn't have to deal with him. And that's where you first see where prison and all of that stuff is introduced. Yeah. Get what I'm saying? So Cain didn't deal with his anger in the best of ways. His whole countenance fell. He was so angry. Sometimes we can become angry at God and take it out on others. Amen. To think that we're getting at God. Not getting at anybody. You're just hurting yourself. There's different levels of anger, ladies and gentlemen. We have irritation, a feeling of discomfort, indignation, a feeling that something must be answered, something wrong must be corrected. We have wrath, a strong desire for revenge. We have fury, the partial loss of emotional control. Then we have rage, a loss of control involving aggression or act of violence. Then we have hostility, a persistent form of anger, enmity toward others that become rooted in one's personality, which affects one's entire outlook on the world and life. So we have these different levels. There's different levels of anger, and all of us can find ourselves at any one of these at any given moment. Yeah. It depends on the day. Yeah. It depends on the hour. It depends on that person, too. Yeah. Because there's people that you already know you don't like anyway. They can say just one thing, and they can say good morning to you. And you just don't like them no way. Because you're irritated at their whole presence. Their whole aura about them just throws you off. You just, come on. Okay, how you doing? Keep it moving.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You cannot allow people to have that type of control over you. You know what I mean? Like, we can't allow people to have that type of control over us. You know, I mean, I'm telling this to all of us. There's just certain people, like, you know, I see him on the street. It's called, you know, just walk past. Don't acknowledge my presence. I don't like you. You don't like me. I understand that. Let's keep it that way.
Come on.
But that's not righteous, though.
That's
Brandon in his flesh.
Yeah.
Y'all quiet in here, but y'all.
That's right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. People you got on block on Instagram because you don't like their presence. You unfollowed them. It's protection for your spirit.
Yeah.
Let me. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Here we go. I hope you're getting something out of this. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly.
Yeah.
And a man of wicked intentions is hated. So here we go. A quick-tempered man, you cannot be so fast to react. That's foolish.
Yeah.
That's foolish.
Help us.
Because what happens is that you get yourself into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And you have to be patient, and I'll get to that in a second. And so here we go in our text today when Paul was talking about, he says, you know, you can don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yeah.
So he's saying it is okay to be angry, but it's not okay to stay in it. Because the longer you stay in your place of anger, irritation, all of that, it's going to bring about an emotion of sin.
Yeah.
Sin is going to be the reaction of it the longer you stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because a lot of us is like, I'm going to get you back. Don't worry about that. You send me a sly email, guess what? I'm coming right back at you with one. That's how it works. Turn the page, you disrespect me. Turn the page, you getting disrespect right back.
Help us.
But is that righteous? No. See, that's the fleshly side of you. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. The scripture says, don't be foolish. Why? Because your witness is always being watched. Your witness has to mean more to you than you getting somebody back from disrespect. Man, that's good. So listen, how do we deal with our anger? I want to give you this. My goal today is not to tell you you're going to be anger-free, because that's a lie. The scripture doesn't tell you to not be angry. All right? Nowhere in scriptures have I saw that it says, don't be angry. It said, don't be angry. It says, don't be angry, but sin not. Okay? So how do we can control our anger, but not sin? All right, that's what we're going to deal with. Number one, see it. How do you deal with your emotions? Number one, see it. What am I telling you? You and I have to focus on the source of our anger. We have to realize where the source is and what triggers us. If you are not, see, you have to know yourself. And you cannot lie to yourself. You and I sometimes be in self-denial about yourself. You cannot be in self-denial, because what you choose to be in self-denial about, when it comes down to you, you'll never work. You will never allow the Holy Spirit to work on you in such a way where you can become familiar with your triggers and know that, listen, that triggers me. And I'll say this in relationships, when you're married or you work or trying to be married or all of that stuff like that, what you refuse to say will end up being a trouble for you. Because if you don't tell that person what triggers you, then how is it that the person is going to respect you in the way that you want to be treated?
Come on.
You have to know your triggers. You got to know what triggers you. You got to know that, hey, that when you do this, you know, I just got to tell on myself. Well, oh, sweetie, we're going to use ourselves. Amen. So me and Lady O had a disagreement not too long ago. And, you know, one of the things I know about my wife, if I walk away, she do not like that joint. When I walk away from the argument, she do not like that, because that is a trigger. But in my mind, it's not, I'm not disrespecting her, because what I'm doing is I'm walking away so nothing comes out of my mouth to continue to add fuel to the fire.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying?
Help us,
Lord.
So you have to use wisdom. So when I knew that, she was like, Brandy, you better not walk away. So what I did was, all right, I'm going to stay in this room.
Wow.
But Lord, you're going to have to control my tongue. It's real talk. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to know, because if you're not familiar with what is a person's triggers, then you won't know how to honor them in the right way they need to be honored. And you will allow, what you'll do is you'll allow that anger to still fester. Even in your friendships, you know what triggers your friends. And you know when you get triggered by them, you come back and throw in a trigger right in front of them. Come on, fam. That's not it. So we got to understand that. We got to realize that we have to know what triggers us and be honest of what triggers us. Because if you're not honest, how can you communicate that?
That's right.
Not only to the other person, but how can you communicate it to God so that you can come into humility and realize, hey, God, that does trigger me. I need your spirit to work on me in that area.
Yeah.
That triggers me. So number one, see it. Number two, delay it. So one, see it. Number two, delay it. What are you talking about? Let's go to Proverbs 16, verse 32. It says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. You see how powerful that verse is? That verse is saying, if you're slow to anger, you are better than the mightiest person.
The mighty.
Yes, amen.
The scripture says not only that, but if you rule your spirit, then he who takes a city, and he who rules his spirit, then who takes a city. So anyone who has a conqueror and who wants to take a city, he's saying, listen, those who know how to rule their spirit well are better than somebody who's mightier and can take a city. Because then you have to ask yourself, why are you trying to take that city? What's your motive? What's your intention? Because that can also be a sign of that you're not able to rule your spirit well. Because sometimes we do things out of greed, lust, all of that. So if you can't rule your spirit well, you will never know how to be patient. If you don't know how to rule your spirit well, but you can't rule your spirit well apart from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That's it.
You cannot do that. And so if you are slow to anger, then you, guess what you are doing? You're mightier than that because that shows control.
Hallelujah.
So what am I saying with delay it? You have to find ways to keep your cool that are righteous. You have to delay the expression of your anger. In a moment, especially in the workplace. There's bosses, there's different people that they send you these passive aggressive emails. Or they say these little passive aggressive things out of their mouth. See, that's a trigger for passive writing. That passive aggressive, I don't like that. Because what happens is, I'm just going to call you out on email. If you're talking to me, let me know. Because if you're saying something, I'll be saying something as well.
Come on.
You get what I'm saying? So you got to delay the expression of your anger. You got to find ways to keep calm, keep cool. I said, and that are righteous. Don't go to your trigger like, oh, let me go and get a little drink. Or let me go ahead and smoke a little weed. I need to calm down. Holy Spirit know me. Woosah. Woo, thank you. yeah, I know. I'm not playing with. Let me go to my car at lunch break. Hey, I'm trying to get you to grow up. There's got to be righteous ways. You better put on some Christian music. You better read that, but you better have this verse right here. Say, he who is slow to anger. I'm mightier than somebody who's... You got to start reading script. You got to do something. Or talk with your close friend like, hey, I need to talk to you. Don't say nothing right now. I need to vent this out.
That's it.
Everybody needs a venting partner. Everyone does. Because here's the problem is what happens is that a lot of times things that are what is unhealthy to do is internalize everything.
Yes.
When people internalize everything, they are a ticking time bomb ready to go off.
That's it.
Because if you do something that hit, you put that cherry on top. Oh, it's over. It is over. They're going to tell you everything that they've been holding for the last 3-4 months. Because they just been holding it all together. And then when a person can't take no more because they internalize it all, oh, they come in. Oh, my gosh. Hiroshima is in the dark. And you're like, what did I do?
That's it.
What did I do?
That's it.
You know what you did the last 3-4. Oh, man. That's 3-4 months ago. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Here we go. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. Because it's what you do with your temper. Why are you going off like that? Control yourself. People who understand. On Tuesday, this is what I forgot. Agent of Change Discipleship is Tuesday. Make sure you're there. Because online or in person, whatever. If you got to be online, be there. Because this is how you grow in your walk. I was telling y'all on Tuesday that, listen, read the room. But all that stuff, you go blank. Some people got hot tempers. You go blank. You don't think about nothing. You don't care about reading the room. You done threw the Holy Ghost all the way out. no more Holy Ghost. No more Jesus, keep me to the cross.
Help us.
Some of you, you got that PG County anointing. Don't worry, but some of us have that Baltimore anointing. I'm not going to mention PG and not mention B-more. Y'all crazy. Some of you, you know how to put it in phrases and ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But here's what I'm telling you. Delay it because this is the power of meekness. This is, can I teach some more with you? Meekness. This is important. Meekness is a calm temper of mind, not easily provoked. Peculiar promises are made to the meek. Matthew 5, verse 5, in Jesus' Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is power under control. It's power under control. You can do it, and you're justified to give them a piece of my mind, but the power is the control in which I have. Because some people feed off of your response. And if you give a graceful, more graceful response, that neutralizes the individual. You want to know why? Because I'm handling you with meekness. Even when you feel offended, even when you try to express an emotion, or you want to deal with things in the meekness, because there's a promise there. Blessed, happy are those. Who are blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek. Not happy are the anger-tempered, quick-tempered, all of that stuff. Fast to let it come out of your mouth or whatever you got going there. And all that lie about, oh, I just got to say it. I can't control it. You a liar. Because guess what? Your mouth then calls you to miss certain blessings. Some of you, you know you got a mouth. And you can talk it and you know how to do all that stuff. But sometimes you don't know who's around watching. Wow. It's not about the situation itself. It's about who's around. Because whoever's around may have what is in store for you. And sometimes what I've learned, because you handle certain situations well, you've gotten blessed because there was somebody who was there. It was like, I saw what that situation was. And here, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm just trying to help us. Number three, guys, I gotta move. Gotta control it. Gotta control it. You have to exercise self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a sign to us that the work of Christ is being done in our lives. The believers should have self-control. Anger, ladies and gentlemen, we have to control it. Oh, this is my favorite verse because I found it. And I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe this was in scripture. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Please take a picture of this. Do whatever you need. A fool vents all his feelings.
I know that's right.
But a wise man holds them back. This has become one of my favorite verses. A fool vents all his feelings. You got to control what you say. It's like, ooh, I'm a fool. You gotta, a fool vents all his feelings. That's what I'm, what am I trying to tell you? You gotta control the words you say when you are mad. You gotta control not disclosing people's secrets who didn't disclose yours when you're mad. You got to. A fool vents all his feelings. It didn't say that you can't vent your feelings. It says you can't vent all of them. You got to look at the key word. It didn't say it's a problem with venting, because venting helps you to control your anger. But venting all of your feelings is not wise, because a wise man holds them back. It's not telling you to be, it's not telling you that you cannot vent and you can't do that. No, but you got to be careful when people then told you certain things in confidence.
Yeah.
You got to be careful of that, ladies and gentlemen, because you have to understand that this is a part of self-control.
Yeah.
I can vent all of my feelings, but what is that going to do? Because if we be honest with you, if we be honest, once we get out of our anger feeling and we'd invented all of what we vented, and like, man, I probably should not have said that to this person.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of times you also gotta be controlling of who you vent your stuff to. Because not everybody is a vault. You got to be careful, because guess what? You vent all of your feelings to the wrong person, and all of a sudden what you said gets out. Because so-and-so said this, I heard that, da-da-da-da-da, and that adds to more division, divisiveness. And then now you got relationships that are not, that even though you can have some reconciliation and forgiveness, it won't be the same. Why? Because when you were angry, you did the same thing that they did. You get what I'm saying? And we can't do that. This is what, do you know what helps me in ministry? I heard this one pastor told me, he said, Brandon, you can't do to others what they would do to you. You don't get the right to do it. Because guess what? No one separates the pastor from you, the man. Unfortunately, they don't do that. So they put two and two together and then say church hurt. And they never went here. But what they experienced in their one-on-one with me wasn't great. You can't do unto others what they've done to you. You have to be careful of that, because your witness has to be greater. Ephesians 4 verse 31. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In other words, with all pettiness. Don't do that. Don't be petty. Look at somebody, say, don't be petty. I know you can, but don't. See, this is how you know the Holy Spirit's in you, because you listening to this right now, say, you listening to it right now, I just feel you in the room. You look like, man, dang, he just preaching to me this whole time. Your flesh is getting really aggravated sitting there listening to this. You're saying, Pastor, I can't do that. Yes, I am saying that. Amen. I'm saying it to myself, too, because Pastor Brandon can be petty with the best of them. Amen. Because I know myself.
That's right. That's right.
I know my triggers. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, good Lord. Verse 22 and 23. Shut up, Daniel. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. What is that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23. Gentleness and what?
Self-control.
There is no law against these things. This is what the Spirit is trying to produce in our lives. If we are lacking in the area, then that means we haven't given the Spirit control in that matter. You get what I'm saying? So here we have it. Number one, we got to what? See it. Number two, we got to delay it. Number three, we have to control it. And number four, we have to resolve it. Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 4. Again, he says this. Be angry and do not sin. Right? But then he says, do not give the devil a foothold. What you don't resolve, you give place to the devil. What you do not resolve, there's a phrase that goes here, I got residence in her head or his head. I'm living rent-free. Oh, there it is. I'm living rent-free in their mind. We hold on to unforgiveness so long that people are living rent-free in our lives. We hold on to that bitterness, all of that, because we still, and when we see it in others, because we were triggered by that situation, it keeps on festering. And what you choose to not resolve is the longer you allow the enemy to have residence. Because anger can be the door in which the devil comes through if you express it wrong. And if you allow it to linger. That's why I said, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, I can tell you now, there's plenty of times where I've let the sun go down on my wrath. But at some point, you have to come and let it go. Because the longer you let that last in your life, your health is going to be affected. And you don't understand, if you're not spiritually healthy, you will not be physically healthy.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
your blood pressure, all of that stuff will be. And then anytime you notice you've been around people that don't, that you, that has really irritated your soul, that means you got some anxiety there. Because you feel your heart pacing when you see them, like, don't want to be around them. That's right, brother. Don't want to be around them. Because I just know every time I'm on, you go your way, I go mine. But guess what? The problem with that is that, again, somebody's living rent-free there. And sometimes people who are dead are living rent-free in our minds. People long gone in the grave having free reign to steal. Be the same thing that caused you trauma because you haven't resolved it. You come past and you hear church and stuff like that. Some people who have experienced church hurt, some people who don't, like, I don't know if I'm gonna trust people and all of this stuff, yada, yada, yada. Guess what? What you don't resolve, you'll just bring with you, packaged in another form. What you don't resolve, you'll continue to cover on. Because with all the things with resolving is also being honest with where, how you allowed yourself to get there in the first place. Because sometimes we always take it out on the person that offended us. But there's also times where we played a role in our own offense. And so we have to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that what we don't resolve, we won't be able to live in peace. Because the moment something like that triggers us, that trigger has an effect to such a degree to get us out of our character.
Wow.
So if something that big is allowing me to keep getting out of my my character, then that's a problem. Wow. Let me tell you something. There are some people, they just love being mad. Yes. They feed off of that.
Yes.
That's their fuel. They got to be mad at the world.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody walk in, you say hello. Why are you saying hello to me? They just so mad. So angry,
right.
So mad at the world. Mm. I used to make this joke. I don't think I should say that. Let me leave it alone. Just let me use self-control. I used to work at One Main Financial, right? Mm. And so I used to be a loan officer. And there was different people, personalities I had to deal with and different things like that. And there was this one lady, man, like, no matter what, she would knew that I was calling. You owe money anyway. You get what I'm saying? And you get mad at me. I'm just doing my job. And I mean, she was going ham. And you really, if you ever worked a customer service job or contact rep, you really need the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
You really do. Because once I got off the phone, I was like, see, this is why you don't got no man. This is why you don't got no man. That would be my go-to every time. It's like, Brandon, why is she so mad? She don't got no man. You got to resolve it. Listen, Proverbs 15:18. You got to hear me. A hot-tempered person starts fights. When you don't resolve stuff, you just start fighting. You just want to be involved. But a cool-tempered person stops them.
Yeah.
When you are able to have a resolve in yourself, then you are able to stop certain things from escalating.
Yeah.
You have to humble yourself that you don't have to always be the one that has to have the final last word.
Amen.
You have to humble yourself. I'm finished, but you have to humble yourself and realize that, listen, you don't have to always have the last word. You don't always have to always got to get out what's in your mind all the time. You have to pick your spots. You get what I'm saying? You got to be wise with how you do that. You have to be seasoned with, you have to season your words with grace.
Yes.
Because when you don't do that, you'll continue to add to the fire. And not only that, but the Bible says, lay aside every weight that so easily ensnares us.
Wow.
And what happens is when we have unforgiveness that we are holding on to, when we have bitterness that you are holding on to, guess what's happening? That anger is about to fester and it's going to express itself.
Come on.
And it's going to cause you to sin. And so James talks about it. James said, when sin is fully developed, you're going to do it. It's when it's fully conceived, it's going to happen. because you didn't resolve it. What I'm challenging you today is, you know, number one, I'm challenging you to know your triggers. Number two, I'm challenging you to delay it. Number three, to control it and resolve it. Resolve your issues.
Yeah.
Resolve it. Because another thing that I'm going to say too is, resolve your stuff. Why? Because a lot of times we dump on the wrong people because of your anger. Wow. Why are you dumping on me for? I only been there for you. Wow. Don't eat it. And what you do is you crop everybody in this one thing. That ain't everybody.
That's it.
And what's going to do is you're going to start separating those who really for you because you want to dump all the time.
Wow.
And you ain't no trash can.
Come on.
You're not about to take your anger out on me. You better resolve that with the person that gave you that issue. You better let that unforgiveness go. Because I'll give you some space. You get what I'm saying? Do what you got to do. But next time I see you, you better let it resolve. Let us talk about it from another place. You know what I'm saying? Because the reality of the matter is that we got to realize that when you have a really good people community around you, you cannot be dumping all of that stuff. And every time they talk to you, it's like, oh, my God, you drain my spirit.
Yes.
Does somebody got somebody that drain their spirit? They drain my soul. They bring my own spirit down. They drag. The moment I hear that, I just say, you know what? My son is need my help. Now that I have a kid, I use him to get out of a lot of stuff. You know, I think BJ just woke up from his nap. I need to go chase him. Why? Because you need to resolve that. You got to stop being in your feels and be in the spirit as it comes down to your anger. Be angry and sin not. Stay on your feet. What's the time? 12:16. Just in time for those 1:30 reservations. Oh, my goodness. Listen, in this moment, I want to give you the opportunity to, before I give the altar call, I want to give you the moment right here between you and God and just say, God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me where my anger gets the best of me. Help me, Lord God, when people get the best of me. Lord God, give me your help in the name of Jesus. I give you your space. God, whatever I have not allowed you to have or do what you need to do. Boomy, you know that song, Move, Move, Oh, Move, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Move, that's Lord Jesus.
Move, oh, move, Holy Spirit. Here I am, I'm open.
Just ask him in this moment, move, oh, move.
Move, oh, Holy Spirit,
come and ask him.
Come and have your way. Move, oh, move, Holy Spirit. Here I am, I'm open.
And just say yes to the Lord. We say yes.
We say yes, Holy Spirit.
We say yes, oh God, to moving that bitterness out of us today.
Come and
yes, Lord.
Have your way.
Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord.
We say yes, Holy Spirit.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Come and have your way.
God.
don't know Jesus, I give you Jesus today. He died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father so that you can have peace with God, that your soul can experience that fruit of the Spirit we talked about, loving kindness, gentleness, love. You don't really know what true love is until you meet the love of Jesus. You don't know how to really deal with your anger until the Spirit of God takes control of your heart. I give you the opportunity to know Jesus. It's not a church, but to know him in a personal way. Not only that, but if you want to rededicate your life back to Christ, it does not matter how far you've walked away. God hasn't gone anywhere. He wants you to come back home under the safety. There's no other safest place but being under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
And then lastly, if you need a church home, you're tired of being homeless and you need a place where you can really get planted so that you can grow spiritually, I would love to be your pastor. Let's do life together. But more importantly than joining a church, because TCF don't get you into heaven, knowing Jesus does. So with every person in the room, those of you who are watching online, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross. You were buried. You rose again. And you ascended to the right hand of the Father just for me. And I want to give you my life today in Jesus' name. Listen, if you said that prayer for the very first time and you want to give your life to Christ, meet us down at this altar right now. Our pastors want to love on you. We want to encourage you. If you said that prayer for the first time, if you text that number for the first time, we want to love on you, tell you the best decision that you ever made in your life. It's say, all right, then two, you saying, hey, I'm already saved, but I want to rededicate my life to Christ. That's available for you right now. Our pastors want to meet you and greet you. Not here to embarrass you. We just want to tell you the next steps. And then lastly, if you need a church home and you say, listen, I connect with what God is doing here and I would love for you to be our pastor, I would love to shake your hand down here. Our pastors are here to meet and to greet you in this moment. Amen. Do me a favor. Look at somebody and say, are you saved? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Hallelujah. Wait for the answer. If they look the other way, they don't know. Ask them, do they got a church home? Got a church home? We'd love to be your place here, amen. If you're glad, come on, put your hands together. Give God praise. It's offering time in the house of faith. Give God praise.